Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello, and welcome all. My name is Dennis, and I am here with the entire Spirit of Truth Ministry team on phones. We have Rick and Larry, Dr. Don and Mike, along with me, and we're delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us today for our podcast, The Bible on Trial. We'll get started with that in just a moment, but a couple of pieces of housekeeping. We have a primary website located at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling. We have a secondary website also with lots of good writing and reading material there with Rick and the rest of us, some of the rest of us, and we encourage you to go there. That's archived. We don't update it, but it's still got good stuff in it. Our primary Facebook page, our primary foray into social media, is our Facebook page located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Let's have prayer and we will get started with our greetings. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us this day where we can set aside an hour, put ourselves in a place where most people are afraid to go. And that is where we test the truth against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ brought from heaven to earth from his Father and gave to his own eyewitness disciples. We thank you, Father and Jesus and Holy Spirit, for being with us here today, opening our minds and our hearts to the truth that is singular and absolute. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's come down here. Where'd my cursor go? One of my favorite lines on that is, I do have a hard time seeing the cursor. And so I often will say, where's the cursor, damn it? Anyway, here's Dr. Don. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Happy Friday to all.
Good.
Looking forward to a good study.
Yeah, I am too. And good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Yeah, there you go. How are you doing this morning, Larry?
Bear.
I know what you mean. I'm a little under the weather. I have caught the cold that everybody around me has had, and I staved it off for quite a while, but it eventually got me last night, and so, you know, we're just here and doing our jobs, and that's really kind of nice. Let's see. Here is Mike. Good morning, Mike.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
That's right.
Good morning, all.
Morning. And good morning, Rick. Nice to hear from you today.
And Mike, you're exactly right. As we know it. When I was thinking about a good subject for today, and along with what we've been talking about over the last few weeks, which is the war that we are involved in. When you are made aware of and you see, and maybe some of you even follow the military operations. They're not calling them war anymore. They're calling them military operations that are going on in the world right now. It seems like these military operations have been proliferating in various parts of the world. From the little skirmishes between groups of people who find it hard to get along to operations such as what is going on in Ukraine, in Gaza, and in the Syria, Jordan, Iraq, and Red Sea, and Arabian Gulf. Makes one wonder, possibly, or maybe you know why. Why all of a sudden it looks like wars are starting and warmongering is increasing in governments around the world. When we went through a presidential administration, the last one, where peace was the theme and peace was achieved. There were no military operations or war. And then there was. And who is responsible, or what is responsible? And why is this happening? Well, I've been talking about the three realms, the spiritual realms of the true God, the Creator, the spiritual realm of the false God, the dark Lord Satan, and the physical realm, which has the flesh and blood humans and the world that we see with our eyes, the physical world of trees and mountains and land and oceans and forests and jungles, etc. The physical realm in which we live and work and play and operate our lives. But everyone is also in one spiritual realm. No one is born into the spiritual realm that God exists in and rules in. When we have our physical birth, our soul, our intellect, our consciousness, awareness, our thinking abilities, and so on, come along with us as we exit our mother's womb, And that soul intellect starts becoming aware of its surroundings pretty much from the first or second day through eyes and ears. And as the infant grows and develops, it learns. It learns of what it needs to do when it's hungry, when it's uncomfortable, when it's tired, when it's awakened from a nap or from sleep. And later on, it learns how to walk and how to talk and communicate so it doesn't have to cry anymore when it wants something. And it learns about mother and father and siblings, grandparents, cousins. As it grows, it stores in its memory faces and voices of family and friends, and then goes to school. And all the way through this learning process and awareness process, it only has access to information that is already codified. And what I mean by that is what the parents believe is what the child is taught, what the grade school teachers believe and what they've been told to teach is what is taught, the curriculum in high school and college, in church, so friends, all of these have input into the soul of an individual. You have to make a choice. Everyone does. You have to make a choice of honesty. First and foremost, honesty. Are you going to be a person who is honest with others, who would never lie or cheat or steal or worse? And where does that come from? Where does the character building come from? Well, typically it comes from parents and then teachers and friends, the groups of friends that you join in school. This all determines the spiritual kingdom that you are in. No one exits their mother's womb into the spiritual kingdom of God because the devil has mastered the souls of everyone. He is the ruler of the world, and everyone who is born into this world is born into his spiritual kingdom. And he has masterfully convince the world that they're not in his kingdom. That they believe that because they believe in God and they pray to God, the God in the heavens who created all things, and they even do good works for God. They give, they go to church, they put their offering in the plate, pay their tithe, they help the poor and the needy, all of those things, that they are in God's spiritual realm, which is his kingdom. His kingdom, the one that he rules over. God the Father, God the Mother, and God the Son. They rule the spiritual kingdom that is the kingdom of righteousness and holiness. Everyone must be honest with themselves and acknowledge the fact that they must be born from above in order to be in God's kingdom. That requires that they be born again, not into the physical realm, but into the spiritual realm that God rules in. But that requires a change of thinking, a change of spirit and soul, a change of information, not what you were taught from your parents and your siblings and your friends and your teachers and your pastors. Because if you hold on to all of that, you will stay in the spiritual kingdom of the ruler of the world, Satan. You can believe in God and worship God and do good works in God's name without knowing God. Just the time when the Son of Man was here on earth, he came into the world from the spiritual realm. He came into the world as every flesh and blood being does. He came from his human mother's womb. It was different. He was not conceived in the normal manner. There was no intercourse involved. You see, he was a spiritual being known as Michael, the angel of the Lord. But he was not a created being. He was the spirit. He came from the spirit of God. God's spirit and his spirit was one spirit. And his spirit was placed in a flesh and blood zygote developing in the womb of Mary, his human mother. And he did that because it was necessary in order to accomplish two things. One, he had been sent by his father, from his father, here to earth to give them the truth that his father gave him, to bring here in the flesh and to tell the truth to everyone who would listen. And I find it significant and ironic that after all that God had done with Israel and their history, which they passed along from generation to generation, the time in Egypt and the 10 plagues and the Exodus and the giving of the law to Moses and the entering the promised land and living there. They had the law read to them by the experts on the law, the priests and the scribes. And yet, when the one they had been waiting for a very long time, their Messiah, their king, no one recognized him. No one knew him. Even the priests and the scribes, who the experts in the law, they didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. And they were saying, these experts on the law, that he could not be the Messiah. First of all, the Messiah would not be flesh and blood. Second of all, the Messiah would be preaching the law as they had interpreted it. He would be confirming their authority on the law of Moses, but he wasn't. And they saw him as a threat to their authority, their power, their prestige, and their honor. And that was very important to them, that they maintain all of that. And so they worked very hard to try and get the people not to believe anything that he was saying. You see, the war, the war that had started millennia before that time, the spiritual being that started that war and those who joined him in it were still very active in the world, and the way they fought the war against the true God who created all things, they captured the leaders who had the information. And they changed the information. Now, they didn't make it obvious. A little changing the information. And why? Well, the way that you capture someone without them knowing that they've been captured, the way you imprison someone without them knowing that they have been imprisoned, is you change the information. Now, I don't know if you've looked around about to see what's happening right now in the world, but that you hear these terms like misinformation and disinformation and propaganda, and you hear all these terms, and it would be blind if you aren't seeing that there is a concerted effort to control the information. And why? Why would you want to keep the truth from being available? Except that it exposes your fraud, and that you can't allow. That's how the devil fights his war. The devil fights his war by little by little by little changing what God has had written down, the law written down by Moses, but he got it from God. The testimony of God's Son given to him by the Father face to face, word for word, who came down here to deliver it in person, in the hearing of witnesses. But how does the devil fight the war? Just like he's fighting it right now. Keep the truth from being believed, from being accessed at all. And that's how you can keep your prisoners in a prison that they don't even know they're in. In Jeremiah chapter 8, this confirms what I have just said, and it confirms that God does not give special protection to keep his words from being changed, contaminated by the devil. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. How dare you say we are wise and we possess the law of Yahweh? But look how it has been falsified by the lying pen of the scribes. The wise shall be shamed, caught out, confounded. Look now, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. So what use is their wisdom to them? You see, all he has to do is to capture the scribes, change the law. Now, the scribes wouldn't dare change the law in the Torah. Blasphemy, and they feared that God would strike them down. No, they changed it in the Talmud. And the Talmud was the authorized translation of the law. That's what they used. And they didn't see it as changing God's words, but God had authorized the priests and the scribes to administrate his word, and so they would administer his word as they believed he meant it.
It was their word, Rick, convinced the people that they didn't need to do some of the things that God wanted them to do.
And what was the charge? Not the charge that they brought him, that they brought the Son of God up before Pilate, because they knew that Pilate would never enforce their religious laws. But in the hearing of the people throughout the time of his ministry, the charge that they brought against him is that he was breaking the law of Moses. But was he breaking the law of Moses? No. But he was breaking the law as they had interpreted it, as they were enforcing it on the people. Now, the charge that they brought against him to go to the Roman court in front of Pilate was that he was making himself the king of Israel, and therefore he was a threat to Caesar, and that was against the civil law. That could get him crucified if he was a threat to Caesar. But was he a threat to Caesar? Had he declared himself a king? Had he taken the throne? Had he gathered an army around him to overthrow the Romans in Jerusalem and then on to Judea and so forth? No, he hadn't. In fact, the priests and everyone else in Judea, they were waiting anxiously for him to announce himself as the Messiah, the King of Israel. He never did. He never did. Why? Well, he had not come to announce his kingdom had come, and that he was going to rule on the throne in Jerusalem. He didn't do that. Why? Because he had not come to establish the kingdom of Israel, but he had come to take the kingdom away from them. Now, is it any wonder there in Matthew 21, when he announced the kingdom of God is taken away from you and will be given to a people who will produce the fruit of it. And it says, and they worked all the harder to put him to death. You see, they used a false charge, something he was not guilty of. And who does that? You know, I think here in the United States, we say J6. All those who have been in prison for 2 to 3 years have never been charged, never been tried. They sit there in prison for something they did not do.
They are languishing.
You see, that's how the devil works. He doesn't want you just in his realm spiritually, because that's the only way you can be in his realm is spiritually. And you do have a spirit. It is your consciousness awareness, and it consists of all the information through words and pictures that you have put into your mind. That is your soul. And the words of life are words of truth, and the words of death are lies. When the Son of God came here to earth and he started testifying to the truth, what did 100% of the people, including his disciples, say about what he was saying? They'd never heard it before. He speaks as one with authority, but he doesn't speak like our priests and scribes and the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Where did he get this information? And so they asked him, where did you get this information? And he told them, I got it from my Father. Well, you see, they believed that their God was the one and only God, a one and only spiritual being who did not have a son. And so therefore, this man who said he was God's son was a liar. Now, you might say, well, God wasn't really clear about having a son in the old days, in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the sons of Israel, and their generations after them. God didn't say, I have a son. But God did say, and he told Moses this. He said, I am sending my angel ahead of you. Be careful that you don't dishonor him, for he may not forgive you. My name is in him. Now, he didn't say that about any other angel. And in the burning bush episode, there appears to be three beings in the quote-unquote fire. God, the Spirit of God, and the angel. The angel spoke to Moses last. The angel would be Michael, who is called the angel of the Lord, not an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord. And the name, God's name is in him. That means he is a son of God, a direct family member of God. God said to Moses, My name is in him. So, the Son of God came here to earth to testify to the truth. And he said that all who are of the truth, he told this to Pilate, hear my voice. He's speaking in spiritual terms. When you hear the voice of the Son of God, when you read the words that were written down by his eyewitnesses, Matthew and John, you take those words and you put them in your intellect and you learn them, everything that he taught you learn. And you believe it and you trust it and you live it. You will be born from above. Your spirit will be born from above. It will be born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will then be your mother, your spiritual mother. God the Father will be your spiritual father. And God the Son will be your spiritual brother.
Rick, would you do me a quick favor? And I think this would be a good time for it. Truth is commonly thought of as being personal. My truth is not the same as your truth. Your truth is not the same as someone else that you know. And all of us can know our truth and subscribe to our truth. And by doing that, we are saved in our truth. How does that dovetail with the idea that in John 17 particularly, that truth is singular and absolute?
Well, I would just say what I said earlier, that when the Son of God came to testify to the truth, how many people already knew the truth that he was saying?
Nobody.
None. So, did he say then, well, this is what the truth is, and this is why I came here to testify to the truth, so that all who are of the truth will hear my voice. But, you know, if what I'm saying makes you uncomfortable, then you can just, you know, just be true to what you believe. Did he say that?
Actually, no, but that is what people believe that he said.
Well, when you start to believe that you have a personal Savior who will sit down with you and work out your salvation with you, then that becomes individual, and you would have to believe then that you're living in a kingdom of your own making, which is not the kingdom of God. And if it is not the kingdom of God, there's only one other kingdom that it can be, and that is the kingdom of the ruler of the world, who is the dark lord, Satan. Now you can worship the God in the heavens, the true God. You can call on his name. You can make requests, and he may honor your request. You will not be in his kingdom until you have learned the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:31-32. Set us free from what? See, when we're in the kingdom of the world, the evil one is the ruler of the world. And the way he keeps us in the kingdom is to tailor a belief system to fit our needs. That's why there are Catholics and Protestants and offshoots from, that's why there's Muslims and Hindus and various other spiritual beliefs and practices. But if they are not based in the truth, they are not of God. Because only that which is the truth is of God. So to be set free by the truth will free you from everything that the devil has used to keep you in his kingdom.
And Rick, there are lots and lots of Christians who believe that they have actually been set free from the law of God through grace, through the belief that they have been through grace. And you see, this is that, you were talking about that personal truth. This is that personal truth that people honestly and with great sincerity believe to be true, even though it's not, and even if it is proven.
This goes along with what he said to the priest and the Pharisees and the group around him when they were asking him, they were basically accusing him. And he said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But since you say we see, your guilt remains. He came to this earth to testify to the truth. And all people have access to his testimony in their own language. They have access to his testimony, and they can read it for themselves. And so when you read it and you learn it and you live it and you believe it and you come to know the true God that way, then and only then will you be set free from the prison that the ruler of the world has crafted for you and has kept you in, and you've been happy. You've been living your life believing one thing when the truth is another, just like the Pharisees, just like the Sadducees, just like the priests and the scribes, in the time when the Son of God was delivering his testimony. They were all fully and completely captured, with the possible exception of Nicodemus and maybe one or two others that we don't know about. But the majority of the religious leaders at the time when the Son of God was here delivering his testimony he received from the Father in the hearing of all, they were convinced that they were in the right and they had the truth, and that this man, whom they didn't know where he came from and they didn't know who taught him, and they were pretty convinced that he was conceived by illicit activity, that he was the one condemned to hell, not them.
So, Rick,
so they were fully in the lie.
And you see, this is what you are trying to get across right now, is that there is a God out there that does create personal salvation for everyone that believes it.
On their own terms.
On their own terms, with their own needs. All right? And yet that God is not the God of creation.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Now, I will say this. Things are a little bit different as far as judgment is concerned. And I know we're running short on time. I just want to say this. I'll leave you with this, and then we'll talk a little more about it tomorrow.
We've got about six and a half minutes.
Yes. In Matthew 24, we have the account of the trustworthy and wise enough servant. And we read in verse 45 of Matthew 24. What sort of servant then is trustworthy and wise enough for the master to place him over his household, to give them their food at the proper time? Happy that servant if his master's arrival finds him at this employment. I tell you, he will tell you solemnly, he will place him over everything he owns. But as for that dishonest servant, he says to himself, my master is taking his time. And he begins beating his fellow servants and eating and drinking with the drunkards. His master will come on a day he does not expect and at an hour he does not know. The master will cut him off and send him to the place and send him to the same fate as the hypocrites, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One individual who is trustworthy and wise enough, one individual has two choices. You could say one choice, but two choices to make. You can either continue to feed his fellow servants or beat his fellow servants. If he is feeding his fellow servants when his master returns, his master will place him over all he owns. If he's beating his fellow servants, he will be assigned a place with the hypocrites where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, he can't be both, be feeding his fellow servants and beating his fellow servants. There are two realities there determined by this one individual. Awake, who is trustworthy who is wise enough. And the two realities that are linked to him determine the reality for the whole world. Whether they go through a great tribulation or whether they go through a time of trouble like we are going through right now, where we can definitely see a buildup to one reality, the Build Back Better world government, new world order, or a world where countries have their own sovereignty and aren't ruled by anyone else but their own people. Two realities. And it, the reality we will get is the one that we are, that is the better of the two. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. So keep in mind that even though we are not going to be going through the Great Tribulation, we will have to decide on the truth and whether we accept it or not. And I would recommend that you decide to learn the truth and to live the truth, because God will need you to help others in the time we are about to enter. Dennis, how much time do we have?
1 minute.
Okay. Well, just remember, these are the days of Elijah. And I do believe that the Elijah is the trustworthy and wise enough servant. And we'll turn it over to you, Dennis.
Thank you all for being here. And thank you, Rick, for a great study. We encourage our listeners to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around there, especially read the book, The Spirit of the Church. We encourage you to join us a week from today for another Bible on Trial, and join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a good day. And we will see you all next time.